And I am thankful that today I can say to you with certainty, I know that I'm on my way to heaven. How about you?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. We are all born with a big problem. We have, by nature, sinful hearts. Children don't need to be taught how to sin. They do it naturally. Unfortunately, many folks think they can earn God's favor by their own efforts, and this evening, Pastor Brian Grant will explain the dangerous fallacy of believing you can avoid God's only remedy for an unclean heart. Please listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, How to Get a Clean Heart. Here is Pastor Grant.
Several years ago, a lady who appeared to be 8 or 9 months pregnant went shopping in a local supermarket. After she left the supermarket and went to her car, people were shocked by what they saw. For although it appeared she was ready to give birth to a baby, the baby bump was not really a baby at all. It was a chuck roast, pancake mix and pancake syrup, several tubes of toothpaste, and a number of candy bars. She looked pregnant, but looks were totally deceiving. Joseph Kennedy, father of President John F. Kennedy, used to tell his boys, "What counts is not what you are, but what you appear to be." And sadly, that mindset is getting very popular, for many believe we should do whatever we need to do to get ahead. But the Bible presents a totally different perspective. And so today I want to speak to you on the theme, how to get a clean heart. There are 4 important things I'd like to share with you today as we discuss this topic, how to get a clean heart. Here's the first thing I want you to put in your notes if you're taking notes. To get a clean heart, we must admit we were born with a sinful heart. Amen? It is impossible to come to Jesus and receive his salvation unless and until we are willing to admit that we were born with a sinful heart. No matter our race, our family history, or our social class, we were all born sinners. Amen? You know, at the beginning of his public ministry in Matthew's Gospel chapter 5, Jesus taught us the Beatitudes, which describe a blessed life. And some remember several weeks ago, we went through the Beatitudes. And if you were not here, take the time to listen to that series of messages. But in Matthew's Gospel 23, as Jesus was ending his public ministry, he shared some very strong words with those who were following him. And you heard them read a moment ago, but let's go back and read just a few of them in Matthew's Gospel chapter 23, and I'm picking up at verse 23, where Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. Those you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." Jesus was making it clear that everyone needed his salvation, even the Pharisees were the religious elite at that time. Back then, the Pharisees, they thought they were somebody special. But Jesus was making it very clear that you Pharisees, you need me. You need a savior. Perhaps you need me more than anybody else. For since we were all born sinners, we all need God's salvation. So although the Pharisees thought they were righteous, Jesus made it clear that they were sinners. And sometimes I run into individuals, I don't know if you ever ran into somebody who feels that they are righteous, they don't need the blood of Jesus applied to their life because they are good enough on their own. My friend, if that's how you think, you better think again, because every one of us was born a sinner. That's why I never taught any of my three children how to sin. And if I tell you the truth, my daddy didn't teach me either. It came to me naturally. Oh, come on now. You know better than me, amen? Because we were all born sinners. We were born, listen. We had to teach our children how to do the right thing. Am I right about that? The sinful part came naturally. Because we were all born sinners. We all need God's salvation. And so in verses 13, 14, 15, 23, 25, 27, and 29, in all those verses, Jesus said the very same thing to these Pharisees. In seven verses, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! Jesus took time to repeat this seven times, for he wanted to make it incredibly clear that even the most religious people in the society were all sinners. And I trust, my friend, if you're listening this morning, whether here or on the radio or on the live stream, I hope this morning you're willing to admit before God that you were a sinner, because like the rest of us, you were born a sinner. Verse 23 tells us about some of the little games these Pharisees were playing. Look at verse 23. What are you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites? You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These guys were making public spectacle of tithing. They wanted to make sure that people were noticing that they were even tithing the smallest herb. They weren't missing anything. They were giving tithes of the mint that grew on their property. They were giving tithes of the dill. You see how far they were taking it? They were trying to show how righteous they were. After following Jesus for almost 3 years, listening to his messages and seeing God's power on display, instead of admitting they were sinners, the Pharisees were still playing religious games. Just imagine, 3 years following Jesus, and 3 years later, still playing games. And sadly, there are individuals listening this morning who are still playing games. You've heard the gospel over and over again, but so far you've still rejected it. From all appearances, you're a very religious person. People think you are holy, but there is no work of grace that has been done in your heart and life. You're not sure if you died today, you will end up in God's heaven. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And I am thankful that today I can say to you with certainty, I know that I'm on my way to heaven. How about you? Have you admitted to God that you're a sinner, or are you still playing religious games like these Pharisees? I've met people who have been in church for years. They've heard the message of Jesus. They've seen the power of God. Some may even have joined a church, but they're still not saved. They know all the church lingo, but no work of grace has been done in their heart. Oh, I pray that today God is going to do something special. Perhaps you have grown up in church, but you're still not sure you're saved. You're still not sure you're on your way to heaven. And oh, I pray that today you'll surrender your heart and life to Jesus. Jesus called out the scribes and Pharisees, and he called them hypocrites. What did he mean? The original meaning of the word hypocrite, just so you know this, as the Bible talks about hypocrites, the word hypocrite, it really comes from a word that means stage actor. The actors and actresses back then didn't have the technology of today. Today, you know, you can do all sorts of stuff today. In fact, even with your little tiny phone, you can do all sorts of stuff. But the actors and actresses back then didn't have all the technology and the makeup artists we have today. So they carried masks to help them disguise themselves. The masks. They were using the masks to hide the real person. We have all worn a mask or two, haven't we? When we were children, we didn't care what people thought when we threw a tantrum. Back then, you see kids sometimes, they're screaming, they're doing all sorts of things. But as we got older, we started using masks to hide our true thoughts and our emotions. So even if we're seething inside with rage and anger, our mask allowed us to be calm on the outside. And some of us have perfected our mask. Am I right about it? We've perfected it. You know, but sometimes people bring their mask to church. Oh my. You know, as a result, there are people who attend church and may appear to be model Christians, but who deep down inside have no assurance that they are saved and on their way to heaven. Are you sure you're saved? Some of you have been coming to this church for a long time. Perhaps you're going to another church for a long time. Perhaps you've even joined the church. The question is, are you sure you are saved? Are you sure you're born again? Are you sure the Spirit of God lives in you? Are you sure that if you died, you would be in heaven with God? Because that's really what counts. If you're not sure that if you died, you would go to heaven with God, you need to make sure today, because eternity is a very, very long time. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad it's a long time. I'm glad eternity is forever, because for those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, listen, we're looking forward to heaven. Amen. We're looking forward with being with our Savior forever and ever. Amen. But what a tragedy it will be for the person who does not know Jesus as Savior to experience the wrath of God for all eternity. How horrible that will be. Every now and then I run into somebody who said, Pastor, I don't believe a loving God would do that. And I always say to them, God loves you so much and loves me so much. The eternal God stepped out of heaven, robed himself in flesh, and went to a cross and allowed you and me, our foreparents, to beat him to a pulp and to nail him to a cursed tree. And I ask you, my friend, if God loves you so much that he would send his son to die on a cross for your sin. Listen, don't you believe anybody who rejects. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? And this morning I challenge you, if you have been neglecting this great salvation, I beg you this morning to stop neglecting this salvation and come to the cross. And say, Lord Jesus, I admit today that I am a sinner. I was born a sinner, and I've done enough sinning on my own. But today, Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart, to change me. And oh, hallelujah, there's never a sinner so far from God that Jesus can't bring him home. No matter who you are, no matter what you have done, salvation is available today. First, if we're going to have a clean heart, we must admit we were born with a sinful heart. Are you willing to do that? But here's the second thing we must do if we're going to have a clean heart. We must repent and ask God to change our sinful, dirty hearts. We were all born sinners. But as I just said, God is willing to change every repentant sinner. So what is repentance? Look with me at Acts of the Apostles chapter 3, verse 19. Acts of the Apostles chapter 3, verse 19. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Repent and be converted. It's at the point of my repentance, it's a conversion. There's a transfer. It's a 180 degree change in direction. Repentance is turning from sin and turning to God. For it's impossible to have a clean heart until our sin problem is taken care of. We're turning from sin and we're turning to God. I was going, following my pathway and following Satan and sin. But today I have come to a spot in the road where I'm making a turn away from sin and turning to Jesus to ask him to change me and to come into my heart and into my life. Hallelujah. 1 John 1:7 tells us the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. No matter what we have done, salvation and cleansing is available at the cross. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Until we receive God's salvation, we have a dirty heart. But God's salvation is available. I want to put a verse of scripture on the screen so we can see it together. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. We're going to put it up there in the New King James Version. And here's what it says. If you don't, let's say it together. Let's read it together. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. What a wonderful verse of scripture. He's able to save to the uttermost. No matter how far away we are, God, the Lord Jesus, will save to the uttermost those who come to God by him. God's salvation is comprehensive and it lasts forever. Are you sure? Are you sure you're saved? Are you sure God has washed your sins away? If not, I pray you'll come to Christ today. At salvation, we were washed clean by the blood of Jesus and guaranteed a place in heaven. But salvation, stay with me now, salvation does not make us sinlessly perfect. And if we cover up sin, we'll have dirt in our hearts. So just because we are saved does not mean we really have a clean heart. We're saved, but there's still ongoing work. There's ongoing cleansing. Amen? I hope at home you don't say, okay, I'm going to wash that towel. If I come to your home, I hope it's not you're not giving me a towel that you say, I washed it once a year ago. Amen? I want to make sure you washed that towel before I arrived. Amen? We got clean heart when we got saved, but we have to keep coming. Keep it clean. Amen? God's salvation is comprehensive, and it lasts forever. but we have to keep making sure we're keeping our vessels clean. So here's the next thing I want you to make a note of. Write this down. We must stop covering up sin. We must stop covering up sin. There are three things that I want to point out to you this morning. One, when we got saved, you can write this down if you care to. When we got saved, our old sinful nature did not die. Did anybody find that out? Did anybody else find that out? That after you got saved, your old sinful nature didn't die? Well, no, not too many. Well, I can tell you, I still feel I still get tempted to do the wrong thing. The old sinful nature is still there, amen? It is still there. We're cleansed by the blood of Jesus, but we're still tempted to sin. And so God wants to make sure we don't cover up the sin. Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 20, and I put that on the screen as well. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Here is the Apostle Paul, one of the primary apostles and one God used to write so much of the New Testament. He is confessing. He says, listen, I know that what I'm doing is wrong. This shows I agree that the law is good. In other words, God's law is perfect. He's saying it is sin that's living in me, although I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Listen, the old nature is still alive. It is still alive. It is still trying to get me to do the wrong thing. Some people, I hear preachers tell folks that, oh, the moment you got saved, that old sinful nature is gone and you can go skating free into heaven. You better believe that ain't the case. That old sinful nature is very much alive. But thank God, the Spirit of God lives in us, and greater is He than is in us. Listen, the Spirit of God who lives in us, He is able to give us this is a word, victory. Amen. He is given to give us victory. Amen. Victory in Jesus. Amen. We don't have to say yes to Satan. Amen. Because we belong to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, He ever lives in us. Praise His holy name. Praise His holy name. So let me keep reading here. So the Apostle Paul says, but if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong. But what he says, I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one that's doing wrong. It is sin living in me. Have you experienced a struggle? You say, no, you haven't. Guess what? It's a real struggle. It's a real struggle. Hallelujah. But what a joy that victory is available in Jesus. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that,
and mean it, God will hear you, and He will answer your prayer, and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.